In case you haven't noticed, Rachel's back from Washington, D.C., and we're glad you're back, Rachel. And just want to remind everybody that I got it written here in bold to remind me, because I might be here. No service this evening, so we'll be together with our mothers. I know it was already said, but just to reiterate.
All right, this time we'll have a special by the Dish Gods of Ladies.
Read my book, round my back, Mommy, listen to my prayer. Let me sit in your lap, Daddy, fly me through the air. Throw a ball, make a snack, can we go to the park? Tuck me in, hold me close, I'm afraid of the dark. Cherish the moment, soon you'll be apart. Cling to the memory, clasp it to your heart. Soon comes the day when you'll have no child to hold. So cherish, cherish the moment. Sing a song, play a game, swing me high in the air. Ride a bike, fly a kite, how I love the time we share. Hold my hand, hug my neck, Daddy, bounce me on your knee. Come and sit by my bed, Mommy, rock me to sleep. Cherish the moment, soon you'll be apart. Cling to the memory, clasp it to your heart. Soon comes the day when you'll have no child to hold. So cherish, cherish the moment.
Think ahead to a time when your little ones are grown. Hold them tight, don't lose sight of the blessings you have known. Think ahead to a time when your little boy's a man, and you'd give anything just to hold him again.
Cherish the moment, soon you'll be apart. Cling to the memory, clasp it to your heart. Soon comes the day when you'll have no child to hold. So cherish, cherish the moment.
If you turn your Bibles today, 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. While we're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the Bible, we reminded us some mothers. Samson's mother told him, you can imagine Samson's mother saying, Samson, get your hand out of that lion. You don't know where it's been. And then David's mom says, I told you not to play in the house with that sling. Go practice your harp. We pay good money for those lessons. Cain, you can see here Eve telling Cain, get off your brother. You're going to kill him someday. What about Noah? Noah's mom says, no, you cannot keep them. I told you, don't bring home any more strays. Gideon's mom says, have you been hiding in that wine press again? Look at your clothes. James and John's mom says, no more burping contests at the table, please. People are going to call you sons of thunder. All right, so we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're honoring moms today. And we're going to look at two moms here. I was too busy telling jokes and not enough busy finding the verse here. So there we go, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul writes to Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, to be with us. We ask you to be with our mothers and grandmothers and aunts, Lord. And we pray, Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, to this morning they might hear the Bible preached and what the Bible says, how to get to heaven. And I pray that you touch someone's heart today. I pray you help us be thankful for our moms. Help us to be thankful for those who have modeled the faith, Lord. Help us to love you like we should, Lord. We thank you for loving us and dying for us. We ask these things, and we pray you bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here in verse 5, unfeigned faith. What is unfeigned faith? We're going to learn that this morning. Where does this faith come from? And what is the fruit of this unfeigned faith? First of all, in verse 1 of chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus means Savior in the Hebrew. Jesus, Yeshua, Christ, the Messiah. This Christ Jesus is the only one of which there's promise of life in. There's no promise in life of life in any other religious figure. Why? Because every other religious figure has died. Every other religious figure body is in the ground today, or in a tomb, or rotten, or decayed, or what the Bible might call polluted. Only Jesus Christ has the words of life. Only Jesus Christ has the promise of life. Why? Because Jesus Christ died. He rose again from the dead after 3 days. Jesus Christ, the one who has eternal life, is the only one who can give eternal life. He's the only one with the promise of life. You might say, well, how can we know this? Well, it takes faith. The Bible says it takes faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross is how we can know Jesus Christ as Savior and know that we have eternal life. These things are written that you may know you have eternal life. If you don't know you have eternal life, you can know. It's not a hope so, a maybe so. It is an absolutely no so because of Jesus Christ. What might be another reason? We're living in the year 2016. 2016, years after the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every one of us testifies when we write a check, when we sign a piece of paper at the bottom with the date. Every one of us, whether we realize or not, testifies to the not only the death of Jesus Christ, but his rising again from the dead. Jesus Christ turned the world upside down because of the death he defeated. And today, we testify, every one of us. He's the one with the promise of life. Verse 2 here, it says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul loved Timothy. He's a beloved son here.
my dearly beloved son. Why? Because he possessed qualities of unfeigned faith. That's why he's beloved. And we'll learn what that unfeigned faith is. But put it to note that Paul loved Timothy for some reason. Timothy was Paul's student in the faith. And he says here in verse 2, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus. God is the only one that has given us grace enough to attain heaven and eternal life. What is God's grace? Grace is unmerited favor. There's not one of us in here today who deserves the mercy, the grace of God. But God afforded his grace to each and every one of us by sending his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, God so loved each and every one of us here this morning, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This everlasting life is an eternal life. This everlasting life is forever. And this life is the promised life. It is the life that every one of us long for, to know that we're going to go to heaven when we die. To not have that fear of death that possessed so many people this morning across the world. It's life eternal in Jesus Christ. God, the God of grace, the God of peace. The Bible says he gives us the peace that passes all understanding. Our lives are in turmoil across this world. Even those of us who can name the name of Jesus Christ as our Savior, our lives still may be in turmoil, but we got somewhere to go. We got someone to pray to. We got somewhere to get that comfort. And his name is Jesus. And he gives us that peace that passes all understanding. How many of us have cried out to God, not knowing even what to pray for? And just ask God to help us. Please, God, help me be thankful for this certain situation. I don't understand it now. I may not understand it for a while. Please, God, help me. And he will help. There's no two ways about it. He promises us. That's one of the promises. He gives us, he's the God of peace. He's the God of grace. He's the God of mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Verse 3, Timothy, not only a beloved son, but we see Timothy was always on Paul's mind. I thank God, verse 3, whom I serve from my forefathers. Paul is serving God, as did his forefathers. His forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His forefathers, the prophets. His forefathers, maybe his parents, we'll see later on. He serves the living God. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. Timothy was awful important to Paul. And there's a reason why he was important to Paul. There's a reason Timothy is, two letters were written to Timothy, because of his unfeigned faith. Verse 4, Paul says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Timothy apparently wept when Paul and him parted, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Unfeigned. Unfeigned means undissembled. I didn't know what that meant, so I looked at it. It means sincere without hypocrisy. Unfeigned is a sincere without hypocrisy kind of faith. The faith here is not trust or belief, but it's a persuasion in this particular verse here. A moral conviction, especially reliance upon Jesus Christ and him only for salvation. Feigned faith is a sincere faith without hypocrisy. And I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Boy, this unfeigned faith started with mom. This unfeigned faith started with Lois, who then became a grandmom. And apparently instilled that unfeigned faith into her daughter, Eunice. And I am persuaded, verse 5, in thee also. It continues with his mom, Eunice. We see in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. It's Timothy here. The son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed. She was a believer in Jesus Christ, but his father was a Greek. Apparently, at this particular time, his father did not know Christ as Savior, but his mother had an unfeigned faith, a sincere faith. And it's manifested in Timothy here. It says, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Timothy was a product of his environment. And he was a product of his grandmom and his mother with the unfeigned faith. We're products of our environment. I remember when Lori and I first married and that, and we're at the coffee joint, and she likes her coffee and that. She says, is that all? And I says, yeah, that'll do her. Lori says, what? What did you say? And then, that'll do her. I never heard such a thing in my life. Boy, can you? That doesn't even make sense. I says, well, that's just what it is. Now when she's at the coffee joint or wherever, is that all, ma'am? That'll do her. We're products of our environment. Or a deal. I use deal for everything. Like a look at the deal there, or go buy a deal of this. What do you mean by deal? That doesn't make any sense, deal. Now, everything's a deal. But then you look, I really actually got comforted. The Bible is very comforting when you read it. And when you read the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, they talk about a deal of flour. So I thought, you know what? Yeah, that's comforting. I'm okay. But we're products of our environment. And Timothy, here it's implied he was a product of his environment, of unfeigned faith from his mother and his grandmother. And Paul says he's persuaded here. And I'm persuaded that in thee also. Timothy exhibited those same qualities of unfeigned faith that his mother and grandmother had. We see in verse 6, Timothy with a gift from God. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The gift here is any God-given gift that he gives us that we might serve him. Now by the putting on of hands means at the ordination it was by that occasion, it was to show everybody as a testimony that Timothy has a gift of preaching, a gift of sharing the gospel, and God's given him that gift. But look at what it says here. Thou stir up the gift of God. Stir up here means rekindle. Rekindle. It doesn't mean, to stir up somebody and get them upset. It means to rekindle. And with that, I'd like to ask the question, is it time to rekindle the gift that God's given us? What if we've been out of serving the Lord where we used to serve Him? Is it time to rekindle the gift? How many got a fireplace at home or wood stove or, certain fires? Now, when you have one piece of kindling, she don't start. You can have all the kindling in the world, and if it's damp, she don't start. What about if it's you bring that kindling from outside? It doesn't start, the fire doesn't start near as well as if that kindling's warmed up. The most efficient way to use kindling is a bunch of kindling, and they're warmed up. Now, what if they're far apart? She don't start. The newspaper burns, and then you're left with these sticks, little small sticks. They don't burn. The kindling's got to be together. Together. And as that heat starts form, they warm each other up, and that heat, and then you get a fire going. And the way we can rekindle our gift that God's given us is to be together. The way we can rekindle the gift that God's given us to serve Him is not only be together, but not throw cold water on someone else's gift. The way we can rekindle is to be together and not damp, but warm. How many of us have grown cold? Cold to the things of the Lord. And that stymies us. That keeps us from rekindling the gift, stirring up the gift that God's given us. We're here for one purpose. Basically, one purpose and one purpose only. And that's to glorify our King. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. But we're created for Him. We're created for good works, to bring glory and honor to the Creator of heaven and earth. That's why we're a new creation. That's our purpose in life. Is it time some of us rekindle the gift that God's given us? Where have we been the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, maybe a couple months? Let's stir up the gift that God's given us, that we might serve Him and honor Him and bring glory unto Him and reach others for the cause of Christ. Verse 7, for God had not given us the spirit of fear. This is a small s. Spirit here is the disposition. It's our disposition. It's our attitude. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given us not fear or cowardice, but of power. He's given us ability. He's given us strength. He's given us might. And Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. That same power that Jesus Christ has, He endows upon us. Endows upon us. To reach others for the cause of Christ. And not only the spirit of power, but of love. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, but speaking the truth in love. And people need the truth. People need the truth today. And thy word is truth. It's right here. But they need the truth in love. Speaking truth in love. We need to love people. We need to be kind to people. We need to be genuinely concerned about people. Sometimes we need to back off and let someone win the argument for the sake of winning the spiritual battle. People need truth and love. I got written here, read this, loveless truth is brutal. And we might have the truth, but if we go charging in, going to show someone, boy, look at this, it's brutal. And all we've done is close the door. We might ask, well, how come so-and-so doesn't go to church? How come so-and-so has nothing to do with the things of the Lord? Maybe someone was sharing the truth without love. And completely pounded him to the ground, and once they got him down, continued to put the boots to him spiritually. And they got up and they said, you know what, this thing called Christianity is not for me. We need to speak the truth in love. A truthless love is hypocrisy. If we love somebody but we refuse to share the truth, at some point in time, it's hypocrisy. But love in truth is absolutely necessary. Not the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. We're able to keep things into perspective because of Jesus Christ. He gives us the spirit that we can, the spirit dwells within us and we can discern things. We know who we are. We're children of God. We know where we're going. We're going to heaven. And we know what our purpose in life is. Boy, the world's searching just for those three things. But God's given us a sound mind, the spirit of a sound mind. The spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. These are necessary to use these gifts efficiently. God might have given us a gift, but in order to use it efficiently, we've got to do it with love. With a sound mind and with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, our testimony, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We must not be ashamed. We've got no reason to be ashamed. There's not one reason in the world why we shouldn't reach people, whether it be handing out a tract, whether it be telling about Jesus Christ. There's no reason in the world. People are dying and going to hell every day. And I've got to ask myself, am I partly responsible? Am I going to be held accountable? Am I ashamed? Am I embarrassed? Do I not have the time? Am I not that concerned? Do I not care? Am I not conformed under the image of Christ? What is my problem? Maybe I refuse to stir up the gift that God's given me to reach people for Jesus Christ. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner. Paul's in prison right now writing this letter because he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. He's called us to be a people of God with an unfeigned, undissembled, sincere faith to serve Him. It's a sacred calling. There's no higher calling than to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us. Oh my goodness, who has saved us? Saved is delivered. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us in here who have not sinned. One sin keeps a man out of heaven. One sin keeps a mom out of heaven. One sin keeps a grandmother out of heaven. One sin keeps everyone out of heaven, because God is a prize, the Bible says, that He cannot even look upon sin or iniquity. And God is just, and God is absolutely holy, and with those attributes of holiness and truth, that He can't look on those things, and He still wants to fellowship with us. How can He remedy that? He loves us. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He says, the Bible says He wants to fellowship with human beings. I'm paraphrasing, didn't say it specifically, but He wants to fellowship with us. We're created for His purpose. We're created for His pleasure. But He cannot fellowship with sinners. So He provided everything necessary. He provided Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, without blemish, without spot. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a terrible, cruel cross in our place. And He doesn't ask us to go to church to get saved or delivered from our sin. He doesn't tell us we got to get baptized to get rid of our sin. He doesn't tell us we got to be the best that we can be, because we can never, ever be the best that we can be. On our life report card, it would be NI, needs improvement. That's how it was in Central School. NI. I've got a bunch of NIs. We always need improvement. But He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. And He only asks us, put your faith in my Son and His finished work on the cross, and you'll have eternal life. It's very simple, but it's not easy, because we want to be in charge of our destiny. I can do it by myself. The Bible says we can't. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. If you're here this morning, you're not what the Bible calls saved or delivered from your sin. You can know today that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that you go to heaven when you die. There'll be an invitation here in a couple minutes. Come forward and someone will show you in the Bible how you can know you have eternal life. Unfeigned faith, undissembled, sincere without hypocrisy. What are the results of unfeigned faith? Well, we can be loved by others, beloved by others. People want to be around us. We can bring joy to others. Results of unfeigned faith is it stirs up the gift that God's given us to serve the living God above. Unfeigned faith is associated with power, the power of God, with love for others, and of a sound mind. Do we have an unfeigned faith this morning? Do I have an unfeigned faith? Are others persuaded of my unfeigned faith? Do people realize that I am a child of the King by the way I act, by my faith? Or is there a question mark? How about this one? Does our faith need to be rekindled this morning? Verse 5 of 2 Timothy 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Whether a grandma now or a grandma later, or maybe an aunt. This unfeigned faith of Timothy started with mom. Maybe some of us need to come forward this morning and ask or be thankful for our mom, for her unfeigned faith. But we were persuaded of that unfeigned faith. Maybe some of us could come forward or need to come forward this morning and say, you know, I don't have the unfeigned faith. My kids don't see it and I need to rekindle. We want to thank our moms, our grandmas, our aunts today. I'm sure Timothy thanked his mom and grandma. I want to thank all the mothers here today at Liberty Baptist Church and the visitors for bringing your kids to church, for being role models, praying for your kids, serving in the church house. Thank you. What song are we going to sing? 377. 377 this morning.
Cross and follow me.
If you'd be seated just for one moment, please. Come on up here, Kip. This is Kip Sizemore. And Kip knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. We got it squared away, fine-tuned it, as far as Jesus Christ only. And Kip would like to, and I just say this, Kip's had some, he's had a hard, hard couple years. God brought him through. And Kip came forward a couple weeks ago and wanted to join Liberty Baptist Church. And Kip needs to be baptized, not to get saved. Kip needs to be baptized, become a member. And he's not been baptized in a Baptist Church of Like, Faith, and Order. So I'd like to ask the members of Liberty Baptist Church, how many would here say a welcome Kip into the congregation, Liberty Baptist? Amen. Anyone be opposed? All right. We're going to have a baptism next Sunday. And the McFarlands, we're going to catch the McFarlands also. Poor Donnie's been sick for a bit, so he looks like he's healthy, wealthy, and wise. So thank you so much. If you'd come forward this morning, shake Kip's hand and welcome him to Liberty Baptist Church. That'd be awesome. Hey, Steve Schultz, would you close us in prayer this morning, please?